Our Father, we thank you again for the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you so much. Through the years, we hadn't had these problems that we have now, and I guess it's a sign of things are getting older, or just sometimes just things do happen. And so we have to be very good stewards of your buildings, and we have to be good stewards of what we do, because you won't bless unless we do. And I thank you for the privilege to be able to be challenged at times. And Lord, we thank you again for these buildings. You blessed us through the years. Sometimes we think, if you're talking about the results, and people see the results that's taken here, but they don't know the journey. And the journey is a lot of things have been to discuss and done through the years to get where we're at today. And you always bless that, and we thank you for it. Now, bless us tonight, Lord, in this book. Our personal concern is that we understand this precious book. Lord, this is our textbook. It's the book we live by. It's the book we find out about you. And we ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand God's precious word as we study it tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if you turn with me to 2 Thessalonians, and we've been studying words for the guests that we've been is with us tonight. And tonight, and for the last few weeks, we've been studying sanctification. We've looked at words like regeneration, reconciliation, redemption, substitution, justification, and also now sanctification. And last week, we come down to the place where we talked about two aspects of sanctification. And one of them was positional sanctification. We discussed in detail. Position sanctification is being separated to God from a common worldly position that changes our position, but maybe not change our inward nature. That is, position the world sees a change in someone. It may be like putting on a coat of religion. They see a change, but an inward position has not taken place as of yet. Disposition sanctification has been saturated with God's holy nature to be made inwardly holy in our nature as God is holy. And from that, they see the change in us in what they see in the position in the world as we walk our life before the Lord. And so again, we think about position sanctification. This word position means the manner by which a thing is placed or arranged, or it's a proper place for a person or a thing. But disposition sanctification sets forth that that has been in order. You put something in order or arrangement before position in Christ is seen in the world. So disposition sanctification is there's a new arrangement made inside us in CERN that makes a change that is manifested in the world to those who look at us of a position. They say they see our position outside of us in the world, and therefore they declare we are or we are not something. So, but when a person just puts on a cloak of religion, there's nothing changed on the inside. They have changed their position outwardly, but nothing's happened on the inside. And what God is telling us, that we have to change inside before the outside is changed or before people see the outside. Therefore, people may be deceived if they see a position outside, no change inwardly, but God's not deceived. He understands who we are and what's going on at the time. So here we looked at that and got into last week as these two positions, two aspects of sanctification is position sanctification, disposition sanctification. And tonight we want to look at again what we got into last week, the process of sanctification. And this is a wonderful thought. When you look at the Bible, they seem to be confusing because sometimes we see God does sanctification, sometimes the Holy Spirit does the sanctification, sometimes it says we're sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the thought comes from man looking at things, saying, well, which one is it? How can it be all three? Well, it's all three because there are different aspects of sanctification for you. Redemption comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, but we wouldn't know about it without the Holy Spirit. And so redemption, we know we're redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. But when it comes to sanctification, there are processes that take place. Now, to understand that, I have to go back. I don't know if you remember back months ago, I preached a message, and this will help us a little bit, I think, to understand a little more of what's going on. Because if you look at, let's take secular knowledge, for instance. Everything in this world that you study, you have information, which is knowledge. Knowledge itself in this world is greater than it's ever been. You can get things now by the hitting of a button of a computer that you never could get years ago. Knowledge is plentiful in this world. But knowledge is nothing but information. And information has to be dealt with, so we increase in knowledge. So you know this, nobody can be an expert to everything. So what happens is many times we funnel our knowledge, which is information, towards that which we begin to evolve in our lives to make a living, whatever, or to make a life. So knowledge is actually information, accumulating information. Now, you can begin to study. I thought about just this week, but Johnny came over and did some work on the computer at the house. And I was thinking about how knowledge is. You know, there's a lot of knowledge out there, but information, when you take the information from knowledge to understand what's going on, then you have to narrow it down to something. Because there's a lot difference in the information that in knowledge about a boat or a house. If I had knowledge to build a boat, it's entirely be different than knowledge to build a house. Even though there might be some things that I can learn basically, but you don't use the same knowledge for both because it's entirely different. So the information for both would be different. If I begin to look at, again, at a car versus, you know, an airplane. Knowledge for a car and information entirely different than would be for an airplane. And so you see people begin to go towards directions that knowledge leads them because whether it's a trade or what they like, maybe it's just they like something. The same thing when it comes to a computer. There's a difference in a computer than a submarine. And I wrote these down earlier this morning. There's knowledge in both, but they're entirely different. And I was thinking about when Johnny came by. There's a lot of things that computer can do, but I don't know about it. And he told me to do something. I tried to do it. I couldn't do it. I had the information. I had the knowledge. But I didn't have the wisdom to do what needed to be done. I mean, I had the exact thing, but I just couldn't do it because not only do you have to have the knowledge, which is information, not only do you have to have that, but you have to have understanding, which is someone teaches you or some way you learn that information. Just knowledge out there don't do a bit of good unless you begin to narrow in to learn what that information is. And when you talk about understanding, that means someone has taught you or you have taught yourself or you've done something that you have been taught what that knowledge is about through information. But it's one thing, and I'm telling you this because you can't understand the scripture unless you use this principle. We're made in God's image. We're the only creature that God's made other than angels that can talk and carry conversation as far as we know is concerned. Since the Bible tells us that, that's what we accept. So what we do in this world and learning process, God said this book is the same way. The only difference is when we have, this book is full of the knowledge of God. That's information. Understanding this, someone has to teach us. And God knew that. It might be someone taught you where you worked at, someone taught you where you schooled, but God said the Holy Spirit gives us to teach us. And so the spirituality of this book has to be understood because it comes from the Holy Spirit that helps us understand it, that wrote this book or inspired it to be written. Now, when I get the knowledge, which is information, and I narrow towards something as we've been doing, would it be redemption, would it be justification, these subjects we've been studying, when I get that to understand it, then someone has to teach me. And I'm glad if this book that's called the Word of God, and it has everything God wants to know, the Holy Spirit will help teach this, but it won't do it automatically. You know, some people think, you're saved, that's all I need. I'll look a little bit about what I believe, and this is what I believe, that's what it is. That's not me. I want to believe everything I can that God teaches me until God takes me home about this book, because what he's teaching us will give us assurance of who we are in this wicked world trying to deny everything we tell about God. And we don't have that, ladies and gentlemen. It's easy. We're creatures. We're either going to go the way God goes or the way the world goes. And it's so easy to go the way the world goes if we don't study as much about the things of God as we do the world. And so here we find ourselves coming down to the place. Now, I've got information, which is knowledge. Increase my knowledge, grace and knowledge of the Lord. And now I've got the Holy Spirit living in me to help teach this if I will approach that book right. It doesn't mean I get everything right. You'd be divine to do that. Some people think they are divine. I'm not. And we're not. But it got to give us understanding of this word. But now when I come to that place of someone teaching me, then I have to understand this, that understanding is one thing, but having wisdom to apply is another. I must not just get information through knowledge. I must not just ask understanding to teach me that. But what good is knowledge and understanding if you don't apply it? What good it would be for a person to go to school for 6 or 8 years to be a doctor and never be a doctor? What good it be for a nurse to go to school, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, if be and continue studying all if they're not going to be a nurse? What good to be a lawyer to go study to be a lawyer if they're not going to be a lawyer? You see what I'm saying? So whatever it is that knowledge comes, and I understand that by being taught, then the things apply. And that's what God teaches us. When we go through the Word of God, you remember back that little form I gave back a few years ago? I mean, a few months ago when I taught on over in the book of Proverbs on wisdom, the fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge. Let me go back. Let's go over there. Be sure I get it right. In Proverbs chapter 1, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And over in another place, he said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. In fact, if you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3 and look down a few verses, see what I'm talking about. See, and God says in Proverbs that wisdom is the principal thing. In fact, God said wisdom is the principal thing over knowledge. Why? God just don't want us to learn. God just don't want us to know. God wants us to apply it. And wisdom helps us apply it. Did you know, no matter what we study and work, if you're working on an automobile and have everything you know about it, it has some wisdom, some time to know there's certain things that work. I remember one time taking a car to a mechanic, and he was listening to it run, and he said, wait a minute, I hear something. And I couldn't hear it. He said, I hear something. He said, I think I know what it is. He was using wisdom that's applied from what he learned before to make an application about that thing. And so that's what God said. God said, listen, you sit and look this book all you want to, read all you want to, study all you want to, but that thing about it is, we don't study it like we should, so we don't learn like we should, but he wants us to understand. God wants us to know who he is. I mean literally know who he is. And that's what this book is about. And here he tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, he said, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Because he tells us over, if you look in chapter 4, in verse 7, he said, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom with all thy getting and get understanding. So what I'm saying to you, if we're just learning Bible because it's knowledge, information, and we learn because someone teaches us, if we don't learn to make it applicable to ourselves so God can use it, that world will never see who you really are like God wants them to see. Because it starts inwardly, work outwardly, and the Holy Spirit of God helps us do just that. And so when I was telling you, you can take this formula and use it out because the Holy Spirit, through inspiration, gives us truth. You know that? Who is the truth? Jesus Christ. Where do we start? With him. The Holy Spirit is what gives us truth about who Jesus is, how we can approach him, what he's done for us. Not what we've done for him, because we've not done nothing for him before we get saved, but what he's done for us. And he begins to draw us to the Lamb of God. We saw that last week. So what happens, we find that the Holy Spirit, through inspiration, gives us truth. And then, you know, the observation, we begin to observe the scriptures. And observation, interpretation is knowledge or getting information so you know what to act upon. And then you talk about God gives revelation, so you go a little step further, and illumination, which gives understanding. Not only does he wants us to have the knowledge, he wants to know how to apply it so in turn people can see it in our lives, so our position inwardly will be seen positionally outward wherever we go. And it works that way. And then he says simply this, once you get the revelation, illumination, then you have the application. That's how you apply it in your life when you go out those doors, when you live among people. And so now turn back, we'll look at some things like in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3. And I go down and God sanctifies us through the working of his Spirit, and he does it in three type of different stages. And the first stage is the Holy Spirit's work with the gospel. You see, there's no way you and I can be separated in Christ without having him. So what he has to do, the Holy Spirit has to take the truth, the word, the information, and present it to a heart, and then they are in the battle. I talked last week about belief and unbelief. And it's the Holy Spirit who is trying to divide or bring us to the point that we understand that belief gives us one thing, and that's to receive Christ. Unbelief gives us something else. One brings us closer to God in the family. Unbelief takes us further away from God. We don't make those decisions in life without moving one way or the other. Once we make the decision that Christ is who he says he is, the record is right, God is right, we're wrong, we need him, and we ask him to come into our heart as our Lord and Savior, then he saves our soul. Look what he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 10 through 14. On chapter 2, verse 10 through 14. In verse 10, he said, and with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness in them that perish, in all that wicked stuff in them that perish, he said, because they receive not. Why do they perish? Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of folks tell you today, I don't know what I'm saying, but I don't believe God sent, let me have to go worry about hell and fire and things like that. Notice what Paul is telling the church at Thessalonica. He simply says this. He says, and with all deceitfulness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. What is the love of the truth? Well, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And to love the truth is to accept the truth. And then notice he said, and for this cause, what cause? The cause that they would not receive the truth. God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, why would God do that? That's the first question I asked. Why would God do that to an individual? Could I give you in this thought? God seems to be saying this. Listen, I've tried to give everything I could to this human race. I've sent my son. I've given the Holy Spirit. I've given the Word of God. Even my people who treated like filth to the world tried to give the gospel out to the world. If a person refused to accept me as Christ, and that's what they want, and that's all they want, I'll give it to them. And that's what he's saying here. It's like Israel said, give us a king. We want a king like other nations. And God said, if I give you a king, here's what's going to happen. Lay out a whole pattern of things. That's all right. We want a king. We want a king. If I give you a king, you're going to take your children. Here's what they're going to do. We want a king. He gave them a king. And that's exactly what Saul did to them. They got exactly what they asked for. And they ended up miserable for years after that. And so God has said, it's coming a time in my timetable that's going to be a checkpoint. And those who say no to me and refuse Christ, and they want to believe a lie, then I just let you have the lie. It just run with it, and you'll be doomed and damned because of that. Now, let me ask you a question. If God's going to close this thing out, and he is one day, and the time comes he's going to close it out, why in the world would he keep working with people never going to trust him to start with? Don't that make sense? Even you and I wouldn't do something like that. He knows what's going to happen, so he gives an opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and then they decide, no, whatever reason, I know more than God maybe, and in turn end up in eternity without him and find out that everything God said is true. He's not going to change his mind. And they'll see. By the way, when we see the righteousness God extended to us, to this world who did receive Christ as Savior, I think their mouths will be shut automatically, just like the law would shut their mouth, he said in the book of Romans. Notice the thing he said, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, they'd be a lie, that they all might be damned who believe. Now watch, they all might be damned. Why? You say, preacher, wait a minute. That's the reason God revives the Bible, because he don't like words like that. No, he said he did this. Why? Because they don't believe the truth. Believe not the truth. They had pleasures in unrighteousness. They'd rather do the unrighteous thing that against God than to do what God's love wants them to do to receive Christ as Savior. That's the reason that, listen, ladies and gentlemen, that's the reason you and I got to have compassion on people when you know they're not saved to try to reach them. And that's what God uses. He uses us for that. And then look in verse 13. He said, but we, now I love this, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Why? Brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. There it is. So we'd already said sanctified with blood in place of now sanctification of the Spirit. What? Are you afraid of those words? God has already chosen. People get afraid of the word chosen. But notice he verifies his choice. He says simply that because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. That's what the first phase of this process of sanctification is. God satisfies us through the working of the Holy Spirit and using three steps. And the first step is the Holy Spirit using truth coming by our knowledge mind and telling us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why? Because we cannot save ourselves, and yet God abandoned himself as his son hung on the cross, turned his back on him, so that he would never have turned his back on me. And I love to say that because it helps me understand how much God loved me. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't fathom what God has done for us unless we let the Holy Spirit help us bear witness. This is a major thing, salvation is. And here he goes on and he says, it's chosen you through the Spirit, through sanctification of the Spirit. That is, the Spirit of God has come with that word, and he's dealing with your heart, drawing you. He'll never force you, he'll never make you, but he gives you that information that you have, the intelligence God has given to rationalize or decide or to evaluate that information. And with the Holy Spirit's help, either to accept or reject the message that God has. And watch, he said, wherefore, he called you by our gospel. Isn't that wonderful? See, right there, the process. He said, God has chosen you. But wait a minute, how? Somebody's chosen me. Wait, get away from that stuff now. I don't believe in this thing of chosen something to heaven. Listen, he clarifies it. He's chosen us by his Spirit with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in presenting it to the intelligent of the mind that God has made us in his image. And he goes on and he says, to obtain it of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Romans with me real fast, like. Romans chapter 15. Look at another verse of scripture. Paul says this. In Romans chapter 15, and look down about verse 16. He says this. Let's read 15 first. He said, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you as it in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God. I've written to you boldly because of the grace given to me. Watch this, 16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be accepted, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Here again, the Holy Ghost sanctifies. Why? By the gospel that they hear. See, what happens is this. When you and I receive Christ as our Savior, the Holy Ghost separated us from the unsaved to the saved. Literally what he did, he brought us from Adam and put us in Christ. Hey, you and I couldn't do that. There's not one of us lift ourselves out of Adam and put ourselves in Christ. But he says the Holy Spirit now, through this sanctification, has brought us from Adam, where we are dead in trespass and sin, and has placed us into the body of Christ, where there's life and glory and God's glory. So notice again, he said, and then I like verse 17, he says, I have therefore where I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. Glory in that which pertains to God. But what's the next verse? For I will not dare to speak any of those things which Christ had not wrought by me. Wait a minute. To do what? To make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. He said, I'm not going to say something just to get them to believe and go against what God has to say. Let me read two again. He said, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me. That which God, Christ has not given me through his Spirit. I'm not going to talk about that. It's like the day somebody's saying, hey, yeah, you can be saved, but you don't have to worry about what God says in I'm living a certain life because that's Old Testament. No, you go through the New Testament. You find out God puts a premium on the Christian life to show. Because if that position, listen, ladies and gentlemen, if that position inside of us is not being manifest outside of us, the world will never see what is needed for a position or sanctification for them to be saved. They'll never see it. But I just never see it. They have to see it. They can't see our heart. They have to see what's inside of us. And therefore, that's the Lord Jesus Christ that's come to us. So the Holy Ghost. So the first thing we see, before we believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God sanctifies us by convincing us in concerning our sin. He convinces us that we're a sinner. He convinces us with the truth of God that we're unrighteous and need God's righteous. He's convincing us that we're going to be judged. According to the man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. The Holy Spirit does that, and therefore, he causes us to look at Jesus Christ to receive him for redemption. When you do that, to repent of our sin, the second thing. And then what has happened? What did I first say? Knowledge is information. There's understanding. In turn, someone taught us. And then apply it. What happens is this. We trust Christ. We listen to the information. We accept Christ as our Savior. Jesus Christ saves us from our sin. Therefore, Christ has bought us. He paid a price for us. And so we see Christ as our redemption. We repent to God for our sin, turn from our sin, turn towards Him. And then the next thing is to apply. How? To obey Christ. To obey Him. Lord, help me. The same Holy Spirit will help me find my place to obey Him as much as when He found my place I was lost. And so that's the first part of the Holy Spirit's part of sanctification. Hear the gospel, act on that gospel, and then at that time repent of our sin, and then apply the new creation by putting off the old man and putting on the new man, and that's a lifetime job. And then the second step, I won't do it tonight, we'll get it next week, but the second step is when we believe in the Lord and are baptized now, we're part of the family of God. We're separated from the world to God, not just separated from the world, but separated from the world to God Almighty. Christ's redeeming blood has redeemed us, and God transfers out of Adam, and He places in Christ. Therefore, He sanctified us positionally now. Hebrews chapter 12, we'll get that 13 next week. What God is doing now daily, He has set me apart from the world and the family of God position. I've been born spiritually, just like the wonderful plan of procreation when a man and woman is set up. There's no life without the procedure that God sets forth. And when that environment is there, there's life in a mother's womb. Then there's a separation from the mother's womb to this world. And then there's a separation as we're in this world to make a life to become who we're going to become as we grow up in life. And same with the new birth. It's the Holy Spirit involved with the new birth. And that gospel which is of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we receive that gospel and the Holy Spirit comes in and lives with us. And He separates us first from the world into a position as a child of God. An unsaved person to a saved person. A heaven-bound person instead of a hell-bound person. And now He lives in us to take the same book that we learned how to be saved to teach us how now to live. So in this life, we are actually being set apart daily. How's that? More unlearned? There are certain guts that come out from the world and be you separated. That's sanctification, folks. Now, what's the world? I tell you nowadays about it, anything anybody wants to think of, I guess. But there's a lot of things in this book that gives us this information. Father in heaven, as we look at sanctification, one of the precious things, Lord, we could see in life, how God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three are involved at different places. And yet all three function as one. I'm glad, Lord, the Holy Spirit helps us believe truths that where the world can't see. The world says, well, wait a minute, now which one is it? It's got to be God the Father. If you think there is, I don't know if there is, but if it's God the Father, it's got to be God the Father. If it's God the Son, it's got to be God the Son, or it's God the Holy Spirit. Now, preacher, which one it is. Well, Lord, I'm glad to understand in sanctification, all three are involved. The blood of Jesus makes it possible for us to be a child of God. That separates us there. Holy Spirit didn't die for us. God the Father didn't die for us. God the Son died for us. And I'm so grateful to see that. So I'm going to give Him credit and glory because of what He did. But then, wait a minute. I also understand that Jesus showed us when He was here how He honored His Father in heaven. And Lord, there's a case of relationship they'd had all through the years. You can't explain the Trinity in such a way for people to understand, but Lord, you can explain enough to believe that God's record is true. And what I can't see, I will see one day vividly because of the new glorified body. Until that day comes, help us put it together enough to just know You're there. And Lord, give us that strength that's needed. Help us in that hour to be our best for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.